Thank you. Isn't that beautiful? And true. There's only love.
Where's Gary?
Where's Gary? Gary is in Sacramento. I was wondering that myself. Where is he this morning? Yes, he's in Sacramento, California. He's speaking at a Unity church there where he coaches those folks. And he'll be coming home tonight, so I'll tell him you asked. I recently read something that spoke to me. And it was written by a Canadian author named Ray Robertson. And he said that he had forfeited the right to use the word awesome in its reverent, awe-invoking context. And the reason for that was because he had been overusing that word by using it to describe everything from shampoo to ice cream. And I could really relate to what he was saying. I've been known to overuse that word in my life too. Anyone else? Any other awesome people here? And so the word awesome has sort of lost its awesomeness, we might say. You know, it's just been drained of that. I forgot. See? Gary, that's right. There's Gary. He wouldn't have let me leave the seat without it. So my talk title this morning is Activating Awesome. And we want to take a look at how we do that in our lives. How do we activate awesome in our lives? Well, let's look at the word itself to begin with. Some of the synonyms for awesome are breathtaking, humbling, reverent, amazing, overwhelming, remarkable. As you look at those words, how many of them do you regularly use to describe your experience of life? Think back to this morning when you woke up. Did those words spring into your mind as soon as you opened your eyes? Well, if you're like me, I saved those words for something that is truly wonder-filled that shows up in my life, a time when I've been awestruck. One such time was when I visited the Blue Mosque in Istanbul, Turkey, when I was 17 years old. I was backpacking through Europe. This is back in the hippie days. There are all kinds of us, you know, on the road. It was a Bob Dylan song, you know, like a Rolling Stone was out, and we were doing it. And I remember being startled into wakefulness when I arrived for my visit. It was stunningly beautiful on the outside. But when I walked through those doors, its total magnificence just overwhelmed me. It took my breath away. I found myself sinking to my knees. Really, there was this hushed silence that was deeply humbling. And I was truly awestruck as I drank in all the majesty of that amazing place. And it doesn't matter how much I try to explain the wonder-filled experience I had in that moment, words just fail me. And over the years, I've wished so many times that I could just return there just to visit the Blue Mosque again. And so it's been 50 years nearly since I stood in that magnificent space. And I've heard from people who've been there more recently that it is beginning to show its age. Nevertheless, the wonder of walking into that place is one that I will never forget. And of course, I know there are many other beautiful, awe-inspiring places in the world. But there was something very special about the intersection of my spiritual discovery at the time and the experience of sharing in the magnificence of that place. That they just came together in a way that it set me on a course of self-discovery into Eastern philosophy that really changed my life. And my heart opened to a greater truth, and I've never lost that deep reverence and gratitude that fills my heart for that humbling experience. And so over the years, I've had similar moments, you know, holding my child for the first time, my grandchildren, breathing in the sheer beauty of old-growth forests. You ever been inside one where you're just immersed in it? The majesty of the mountains and the ocean or listening to beautiful music. How many of you have had such experiences? Yeah, many of us have. But what if there was no need to travel anywhere? Or in fact, be anywhere other than where you are right now in order to experience that same sense of wonder and awe. Can you imagine?
Yes.
And what if the belief that I have to have some sort of special moment, something beyond the ordinary so that I can experience awe, what if that very belief is what's stopping me from having a life filled with wonder? Because the truth, with a capital T, is that the same awesomeness that I discovered in the Blue Mosque is living within every single one of us right now, right here. But we have to find it. We have to turn within. We have to regularly visit that deeper dimension within us that connects us to the source. And by discovering the power of that, the power of the presence that is within us, now, we want to express that power in our lives, in our families, in our world. That's how we activate awesomeness, you see. And on this road of discovery we're on, we have to have a willingness to be surprised by what we discover. Or I love the word, Sean, this reminded me, be astonished. Can you be prepared to be astonished by what you find? Wouldn't that be cool to be astonished? Wow, I had no idea. And so we have to say yes to the unknown on this journey. We have to get beyond the stuff that is keeping this reality of beingness that we are from our awareness. It's there right now. What's getting in the way? Because right now, in this moment, we are in heaven. All of us. We don't have to improve ourselves. We don't have to lose 10 pounds to get in. We don't have to change our hair. Right now, in this moment, just as we are without changing one single thing, we are immersed in reality with a capital R. We are in the presence of pure beingness right now. But are we experiencing life that way? And if not, why not? Well, as Leonard Cohen said it, if you don't become the ocean, you'll be seasick every day. In other words, right now, we are immersed in the ocean of oneness and divine presence, reality, with a capital R, but by experiencing life as a separate self in our own little lifeboat, we open ourselves to being tossed around, tossed and turned by the movement of the outer world at the mercy of the storms that brew up, ready to capsize with the cresting of each wave, and missing the joy of life because of these seasick thoughts of fear and belief in separation. So it isn't that extra 10 pounds or a bad hair day or an inability to make a positive change in my life that's getting in the way. It's thinking about those things. You see? My own thoughts will distance me from experiencing the present moment. And a belief is simply a thought that I've been thinking a lot. See? I've been thinking this thought so much, it's become a neural pathway in the brain. It feels like it's the truth. It keeps me constricted, hemmed in by the belief in separation, unable to experience the oneness of the ocean of divine love that I am truly swimming in. So what to do about that? Well, first I need to identify the belief that's in the way. And if you want to find out what your hidden beliefs are, your limiting beliefs, there's a really surefire, easy way to do it. And that is, anytime you get triggered by something, you know, somebody pushes your buttons, you know, that little sore spot, any kind of reactive moment like that, it's an opportunity to see what is underneath it. You see, this triggering moment can be profoundly healing experience of awakening, because here's the truth, when I collide with reality, small r, when I collide with reality, I now have the opportunity and the ability to use that moment to commune with reality with a big R. See it? And once we discover that belief, once we have that collision moment and use it to go deeper into who we are, to let us see the truth, this is where curiosity comes in. That's a big part of this. You know, the past few Sundays, we've been talking about a book called The 15 Commitments of Conscious Leadership. And if you remember, the authors define conscious as to be here now in a non-triggered, non-reactive state. They call that being above the line. Above the line thinking. And the definition for leadership in this sense that they utilize is anyone who wants to take responsibility for their influence in the world. Now, with that definition, how many of us are leaders or want to be taking responsibility for our influence in the world? Well, the commitment this week is about learning through curiosity. To be above the line, we commit to this. We commit to growing in our self-awareness through curiosity. Below the line thinking is about continuing in defensive behaviors, committed to being right, refusing to see things in any kind of a different way. But to move above the line, we need to take on a sense of wonder, wonderment, like a child has. Einstein tells us, never lose a holy curiosity. Now, this was a man who certainly retained his sense of wonder and curiosity throughout his life. So curiosity is the secret ingredient for experiencing life with a sense of wonder. Committed to being curious rather than being right, choosing self-inquiry over certainty, being willing to see something we didn't see before, or to see it differently. Curiosity has such a rich potential for transformation, for helping us to grow into something greater than we know. Because curiosity takes me from that old worn-out neural rut of I'm right, and you're wrong, or you're in my way, or I already know all about that. Or we've always done it this way. Or we tried that once and it didn't work. You know all these things? Curiosity will take us above all of that. It'll take us above to the place of, I wonder if there's another way to see this. I wonder what the gift is for me. I wonder if there is a spaciousness I can create here that can activate awesomeness. How can I be that in this situation? Is there something I can learn here? Or do I have a stranglehold on how it has to be in order for me to feel okay about this? Do you recognize any of these things? Wonderment. The problem is that during our childhood, throughout our childhood, as we grew up, we learned to trade wonder in for figuring out the right answer. We learned that at a young age, that making up an answer is wrong. You know, I used to work in a school library, and I could hear the librarian with a group of kindergarten children as she tried to teach them research skills. And she'd be saying, don't make up the answer, find it in the book. Now, I fully support learning research skills. I'm all about that. But every time I heard her say it, my heart would sink a little bit more. You know, it's like they were getting the message very clearly that their searching inside themselves and using creativity was not working for her. They needed to learn the right answer. And so as we grow up, as we become adults, this becomes very stressful for us in our lives, doesn't it? Especially if there's a price to pay for getting it wrong, like failing the test, or getting fired from the job, or losing money on the deal, whatever it is. This sense of needing to be right, needing it. Just invades our world. And when we're stuck in that and the stress around that, are we experiencing the wonder and the awe of life?
No.
No. So to demonstrate, okay, there's some letters on the screen. They unscramble to form a word. All of you except those that were in the first service have 15 seconds to get the right answer. Go. Time's up. Incense.
Oh. Incense. Wow. That is a
scripture. Imagine that. And when the authors of the book, when they're doing this, they're taunting everybody. Come on, everybody else has got it. How come you don't? You know, just feel how that feels. I mean, we were just playing around with something, but imagine being in that moment of it's. If you get this right, you know, you win the prize. Or we don't kick you out the door. Or, you know, something, put something on the line there. And suddenly, our brain freezes up. And so the very skills we want to use here are not accessible to us. And then, are we experiencing the wonder of life? No. Wonder means we're willing to explore the unknown. Let go of control. Be willing to be surprised and to understand that there's no one right answer. And it's that willingness and it's that expectancy that opens the door to the divine guidance that is accessible to us when we get connected in our hearts. Now the wisdom of God is accessible to us. The understanding, the creativity, the divine ideas, it all becomes available to us when we sink ourselves into that place of wonder. Because Spirit's always here now, always within every situation, every idea, every moment of our lives. And as Emerson said, the mark of wisdom is to see the miraculous in the common. The miraculous in the common. No ordinary moments. I read the story of an elderly man, and he was quite wealthy. And throughout his life, he'd been a pretty ruthless and angry guy in all of his business dealings. He'd also been very strict with his children and kind of mean-spirited with his family. And he now had a terminal illness and was nearing the end of his life. And the hospice nurse who had been assigned to him was warned all about him by her colleagues. And they cautioned her, be very wary of this man. He just spews anger on whoever happens to be near him. And so she visited him with great trepidation. However, she was surprised to find a quiet, unassuming, subdued, pretty frail man lying on a hospital bed in his living room. And he asked her to sit. And he started telling her how much he regretted his harsh treatment of his family and his employees. And he had believed all throughout his life that the way for him to inspire his children to try harder and become successful was to talk to them that way. He also believed that to be successful in business, he had to treat his employees in that manner. And now he was at the end of his life and he had the realization that that was not at all who he really was. He had spent his entire lifetime colliding with people that he cared the most about and never being his true loving self with any of them, and he deeply regretted his actions. And his change of heart had arisen through a dream that he had about his beloved grandmother who had passed away many years before. And in the dream, he experienced once again her deep love for him. And he realized that how much she had showered him with unconditional love. And when he awoke from that dream, he was a changed man. His heart had broken open, and he lost no time calling his family together, telling them how sorry he was, how much he regretted his actions. He apologized to each one, asked, begged for their forgiveness, made amends with the whole family. Now, the nurse was amazed to see the transformation in this man from the tyrant she had been warned about to this loving, compassionate, kindly soul who sat in front of her. He had activated awesome. He had found it within himself and shared it with the world. This man had spent a lifetime striving, pushing, forcing, trying to make transformation happen, and in one moment of unconditional love, everything unlike itself melted away. And it brought remembrance to his heart of the truth of who he is and was. Transformation can happen that quickly. But we don't have to wait for a terminal illness or, you know, or hope that we get a dream like that visiting us one night. We don't have to do that in order to transform our lives. We have exactly what we need right here and right now to discover that wellspring of divine love within our own hearts and to share it with the world, even if we have never been on the receiving end of that in the past. It is there. Right now, it is there within you. The wonder, the majesty, the brilliant beauty of the presence of God, the imprisoned splendor, is within your heart right now. Do you know that about yourself?
Yes.
Say it like you mean it.
Yes.
Yes. Because the truth is, I wonder if this microphone is going to work for me. The truth is this: the infinite is looking through your eyes and your heart and gazing upon the world of form. And as we discover the blockages that might be filtering the view, and with loving kindness, let those drop away. Let them integrate, become self-compassionate towards ourselves, and let that part of ourselves, our souls are welcome here. Let yourself feel that welcoming, that all of you is welcome here. And let that happen. And when that happens, the whole vista changes for us. We look out on a world of beauty, earth crammed with heaven, as Elizabeth Barrett Browning writes. Earth crammed with heaven. Take a look around and look at the eyes that look back at you and see how we are all on earth crammed with heaven right now. Take a look. See all that heaven cramming, being crammed? Entire world within a grain of sand, as William Blake writes. God is everywhere present. That's the whole point. So if God is everywhere present, there is no spot where God is not, including the space that you are occupying right now on your chair. You're in heaven right now. And once we discover the beauty of divine love within us, the next natural step is to share it with each other, with the world. And just as this man was compelled to shower his family with love once he rediscovered it within himself, the world awaits your awesomeness and the gifts that you bring to this planet. Only you. And as we become curious, as we become wonder-filled, we begin living as the ocean, widening our circle of compassion, feeling the never-ending joy of the moment, exploring our deep connection with the divine. And through that, we overcome the fundamental optical illusion of separateness. We find out the lifeboat is not real. So, are you ready to bring some holy curiosity into your life?
Yes!
Because it can startle you into seeing the amazingness that's already present. I read the story of a man who was driving along his usual route to work that he had driven every single day for 35 years, and passing the same scenery day after day after day. And then one day, along the side of the road, he saw a billboard that read simply, "Prepare to be amazed." That's all it said, nothing else. And he continued driving, and down the road a couple miles, another one popped up, "Prepare to be amazed," and then another one, and another one, six in all, with no explanation, just the message. Well, as he drove along, he couldn't get it out of his mind. Prepare to be amazed. And suddenly, he started being amazed at things. he began noticing the beautiful shade of brown that the trees in the forest were as he drove by them. And he wondered, have they always been that beautiful? And then he saw how the sun reflected off a barn that he'd driven by every single day and was amazed by the sight of it. And then he got to work and he noticed for the first time his colleague's beautiful smile. And then he understood and he realized and felt how much he loved his job, how exciting it was for him to be at work. He woke up to the amazingness of his life, and we can all do that. So my message this morning is for all of us to prepare to be amazed. Yes. To find the miraculous in the common, no ordinary moments. Spend time in the silence, communing with that deeper dimension within you. Discover the divine love that indwells your heart, and then share it with the world. Activate awesome. And ask your heart some wonder questions that can lead to the most unexpected places. Questions like, I wonder what choices I could make today that would bring forth the greatest creativity. I wonder what is one thing I could change today that would allow for a breakthrough of some kind in my life. And what can I let go of to clear the way for joy to bubble up from within me? And how can I best bless my family today, my spouse, children, grandchildren, friends, coworkers, whatever it is? And what is the gift in this situation? So I invite all of us to take a deep dive into the depths of our hearts today with holy curiosity, discover the divine love within, surrender to that state of wonder. Prepare to be amazed, and then joyfully get ready to activate awesome. So it is.